Well, good morning, One Life. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
We had a meeting that I think looks like, yeah, everybody was here at last night. So praise the Lord. So I don't need to recap. That's awesome. Oh, Jesse wasn't here, but I told you about it. So that's like being mean, Jesse. You feel like, oh, I lied. Yeah, they did. In a good way. So I was just going to read a little bit out of Psalm 104. And as I read this, it's describing the God that we serve. And I just want us to all realize, as powerful and as amazing and as unapproachable he sounds, we have full access to him. And that this morning, we get to open up our hearts, open up our beings to him, and receive fresh life, fresh install of him. And so in Psalm 104, verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep and with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills." And that's just a brief description of our God. But he's also our Father. And so today, as we open up our hearts, open up our lives, just quiet our being from all the busyness of life, let's receive. Let's not let distractions or anything that has been plaguing us keep plaguing us this morning. Let's push in. Let's press into his presence. Let's get to know him in a greater way, so that when we leave this place, we can let somebody know a new aspect of God that we discovered this morning. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are amazing, how you have created all of creation, how all the works of your hands are wonders. And, Father, you have given us access through the death of your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for opening the way to the Father's heart. So today we want to receive, God, all that you have. Every word, every exhortation, every encouragement, and potentially every rebuke. And we just thank you, Jesus, for your love and for your grace and for giving us all that we need to live on. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy, 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 you're holy, Lord. You're holy, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You give us, Lord, the privilege of joining in, God, with heaven, of being able to lift our voices and join in with that heavenly chorus. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be just in these four walls, Lord, and in our own little areas of Christianity that we declare these things, Lord, but it's in our very life, Lord, would display that you're holy. Our very actions, Lord, would display that you're holy. Lord, our intents and the desires of our heart, Lord, would display that you are holy. So, Father, we ask that there'd be a purification, Lord, of any areas of us that show that weakness, that keep us from being able to declare your holiness in our life. Thank you, Lord. It's not up to us, God, to maintain holiness, Lord. It's just up to us, God, to stay in you, to remain holy. So, Lord, we pray that we would learn how to dwell in the secret place in the Most High. We learn how to abide in your shadow, Lord. That your wings would cover us, Lord, and we would just be warmed by your feathers. God, I just pray that there would be a drawing today, Lord, of any of us, Lord, that have been failed to be able to draw close to you. Lord, that you'd supernaturally put a hook in us and draw us close to you today. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in our lives. Much more than we deserve, much more than we've earned. Lord, you're working in our lives, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, it's your work, and it's a good work, Lord, and it will be a finished work, and we can trust in you for that. So, Lord, I just release, Lord, over the hearts, Lord, of my family here, God, an encouragement today. An encouragement, Lord, that would bring a heavenly resource, God, that they could tap into. Holy Spirit, stir them. Holy Spirit, draw them. Holy Spirit, cause their hearts to awaken to your goodness, oh God. And we just thank you for that. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're not on our own. We are not on our own. We are not alone. Even when we're by ourselves, Lord, we're not alone. And I pray today, Lord, that is a message, Lord, today that they will hear at Emerald Care. Even though they are sometimes in all actual appearances being alone, Lord, that they would get the reality they're not alone. That at any time, Lord, they can breathe you in. At any time, Lord, they can receive, Lord, your loving arms around them. I pray a reality of the truth that you never leave them or forsake them would come to their hearts today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, Raph. How's he doing? Praise the Lord. Okay, well, speaking of that, I'm going to have Al come up, and he is going to encourage you why you don't want to miss being at Emerald Care today. Right, Al? Yeah.
Thanks, bro. Hello, everyone. Good to see you all here today. So, Emerald Care, what can I say about that place? I know growing up when I was in high school, I went there a couple times or whatever. Not for family, just volunteer work or whatever. I think when I first heard about Emerald Care, I wasn't really connected to it all that much until James and Ken and their families kind of invited our families, and we kind of made a routine out of it where we, you know, after church we go get a lunch and fellowship, and then we head over to Emerald Care and have service down there. It's kind of, I don't know if many of you have been to those places, but it's kind of gloomy, you know, it's kind of down. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are missing hope. They don't have that in their life, you know, and for whatever reason, whether they've been placed there for against their will, or they don't get visited very often, you know. They don't. Some of them just, their hearts are aching because they haven't seen their family in so long. And I guess the point I'm getting to is, like, being able to bring some of that hope into the building. I think James and Steph do a great job when they're there. I'm blessed to be able to go there and partake in some of that. It's awesome to see my children there. I know when we first started, there really wasn't a whole lot of involvement, and then it just kind of grew. You know, I was lucky enough. I have an uncle that probably grew up on the wrong side of the tracks growing up. He did I knew him as the bad uncle, you know, kind of, you know, he wasn't living the right life, I guess you could say. But how many people know that God is great? I was able to go over there, and to my surprise, I was like, hey, that's my uncle. What's he doing there? Like, I was like, oh my gosh, is he, what did he do? Like, is he doing volunteer work or what? I don't know. But you know what? God totally utilized him. And he's ministering to them also. In fact, he works with James a lot to be able to speak. And he's going to another church in Wapato. But the point being is, we're all called to go out and reach people, to show love, God's love, and bring them to Christ. I know for me, I'm not as good as my brother-in-law Moy over there that can recite every verse out of the Bible, backwards, frontwards. That is a challenge. So if after church you want to test them, no, just kidding. But, you know, one thing that I can do is I have a connection with people. I'm great at showing love. And you know what? That's my gift that God's given me. Each of us have something that we can bring to those individuals there. I'm telling you, there is so much hopelessness. And it's not just Emerald Care. It's throughout our community and everywhere we're at. It's amazing to see my little girls. Like, you'll see someone in a wheelchair, and they're just hunched over, kind of just spaced out. And then my girls will come run up, and they'll say, hey, Grandma, or whatever, you know, and then their eyes just light up with life. We all can do that. And what a great gift to show our children the difference they can make in each of these people's lives. So I guess my challenge is to invite each of you guys to partake in that. You know, I'm a giver. I don't really take a lot, but there's so much that God gives you in return when you show someone love. That you're not out to, you're not trying to gain anything out of it, but just a simple, heck, a lot of those people there, they just want to talk. They want someone to hear their story. And my gosh, they're such great stories. You know, you just see them in a wheelchair and you think, oh, you know, how sad. But you know what? They can give so much to our children or ourselves. Like, the stories, the things that they've done. I mean, how many people have watched Forrest Gump? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's only interesting because of all the things he did in life. These people are living people that have done so many great things. I think I saw on your board where, what was her name? The one that had, I don't know, she was on one of the boards. It was like her 90-something birthday. That's probably everyone there. But anyways, like, her whole life story was just amazing. So, you know, I know that James, myself, everyone, we get so much more back than we could ever give in our hearts. I challenge you to bring your families out there to worship God and to share his word with each one of them. We take the time to pray for every single person in that building, maybe multiple times. I know my son Alec, he gets to pray for people. They appreciate that. Just recently, we've been able to baptize people, which is a blessing, you know. Today, we have four, which I guess we've got four today. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing out there, you know. That's what we are called to do, in showing our love and giving back, you know. And that's what it's about. So the good thing is admission is free. We're not charging anybody, and you're welcome to come and partake in that every, I think it's every month we do it. So anyways, thank you for your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Al. That's awesome. And for anybody who doesn't know how to get there, if you'd like to go with your family, what time is it? It's 3:00. Sorry. Yes, 3:00. And do you have the address handy?
North 209
North Attanum? Oh, wow. But it's in Wapato, huh?
Just, you get off of 97.
Okay. Okay, awesome. So at 3 p.m., and what an opportunity to be family and to share family with another family, right? All right, praise the Lord. Well, will the children please come up? Hi, guys. Are you ready to go down? You don't really. Yes, we're ready to go down, Pastor. Hi. How are you doing? Good. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kids, Lord. We thank you for their hearts. We pray that today, Lord, that they would receive a message, God, that would help build them up and help them become who you've called them to be. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Marley.
Amen.
Amen.
Luis.
What's, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. I think that's it. Is that it? Are we done? No, we're not done, but do you want to go ahead and get it started, David? Oh, no, it's actually in the, there it is. Okay. Awesome. Make sure that I'm able to move it. Yep. Okay. So over the past probably 6 to 7 weeks, I've been teaching on how to study the Bible. We've gone over some electronic things, and lately I've been kind of teaching you principles for when you are studying, how do you get the most out of your word? So I think we've gone over five systems, and I had some handouts last week. Is there anybody that would like me to bring those handouts again next week so you can take them? I think most of them went, but is anybody? Okay, I'll get a few next week so you guys can have them. Really, really good principles. Today I want to go over four levels of understanding Scripture. Now, this is a Hebrew perspective. Now, how many know that our roots that we come from are Hebrewic? Jesus was Hebrew. He was a Jew. Moses and David, all of them come from those Hebrewic roots. So to learn some of their principles, now they're very similar to some of the things we talked about before, but there's a little bit deeper of a level. So one is the plane, and it's called Peshat. Everybody say Peshat. The hint, remez, very good. The hidden, drash or drosh. I think drosh is probably it. Drash sounds very rash, so drosh. That means to search. And then the secret is sowed. Sowed, very good. Now you guys are Hebrew now. Isn't that awesome? Each layer is deeper and more intense than the last, and we'll discover that. So the plane is the obvious. The plane would be a verse like Jesus was walking on the water. I think it's pretty obvious what he's doing there, right? That he's walking on the water. And so, I mean, there's other things that you can get out of it. But that's really the obvious. He is walking on the water. Another one would be when he was turning over the tables in the temple. That would be a real obvious. I mean, he's turning over tables, and they were getting upset because he was turning over tables, not maybe even knowing what was in his heart, why he was doing it. The hint would be where you start to go to the deeper, and that's where you go to an allegoric or a hidden or symbolic meaning beyond just the literal sense. Well, we find out that Jesus, why he was turning over those tables was because his heart was to keep the house of prayer the house of prayer, not a place of money and a place of spying and selling and thievery. And so we learn from that particular scripture about, you know, the house of prayer. You can start going through other scriptures, making other links. And so what was real plain, he was turning over tables, starts to give you a hint that there's more going on with that. Everybody following? Okay. The hidden.
The hidden is where you now have to start really, really, really pondering things. This is where you start going into darash. It means to inquire or seek. Anybody remember the verse, you know, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. So there's this progressive things that we need to continue to do to discover and learn and get closer to the Lord. So it's the comparative meaning as given through similar occurrences. So Jesus turning over the money tables, and we understand that that's because he wants his house to be a house of prayer. Well, getting a deeper meaning, or the hidden, is where you could start going and studying what was the house. It was the temple. And what was the temple used for? It was used for worshiping God. And so you go and you study worshiping God. And so what you start to get is a picture of why Jesus was so zealous about what was going on in his temple. Interesting scripture says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter or hide a matter, but the glory of a king to search out a matter. How many know we're kings and priests? So it's like given to us an opportunity. Not everybody has to do it. I mean, nobody has to read their word if they don't want to. But I'm telling you, as you get the word in you, you will change. You will be transformed. Things in your life that used to bother you won't bother you anymore. Why? Because you're receiving God's word on your heart, in your heart. And it guards and it sets your heart in a place that certain things, like I said, that would cause you to, you know, fall to your knees or cause you to have a breakdown or cause you to just, you know, scream or rear end somebody, you know, will be governed because the word is in your heart. So go out and search for those matters. And then this is interesting. This is the secret. This is the mystery or the mystical meaning as given through inspiration or revelation. This is going to take not just looking at, you know, the Hebrew meanings or the Greek meanings or the cross references. This is going to take you going in the Lord's presence and saying, Lord, what I'm getting challenged on this verse. Something is not completely apparent here. I realize there's more to this than meets the eye. There's more to this than I've studied out. And so, Lord, would you reveal that to me? And what you'll find is that even the hidden, the mystery, is going to be something that makes sense with all of the others. They're going to build upon each other. It's not going to be like something that it never meant before. It's going to be, oh, okay, I see. This is what this means. It was, to me, I think I was finally, and I think there's even more secret to communion and understanding the deepness and the intimacy that I was experiencing communion. Instead of just, well, this is bread and this is juice and remembering the Lord's death, there was the next level of that. There was the hint that if it's the Lord's death, then what does that death do for me? And then later on, I started discovering that, wait, there's life in the blood. And this would have been the hidden. There was life in the blood. And the body is the veil being torn. So this represents access into the very presence of God. And that when I take communion, it's celebrating that. And it's experiencing that to its fullness. And then the revelation of he's in me and I'm in him. That I had to get that from the secret. That didn't come, you know, that didn't come from just the scripture. That was the Lord's counsel to my heart. And that was like feeding me. And, you know, it gave me food that was not food of the normal type. And so the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Look, the secret, the sowed, that's the word sowed there, is with those who fear him. And again, not fear him in a way that we're afraid he's going to beat us up. But fear in a way that we reverence him, we honor him, we give him the attention and the respect and the time that is due him. Amen? Okay, so again, that was, go back here one more time so you can see them all. That's the plain, the hint, the hidden, and the secret. So I challenge you, as you're reading your word, don't just take the plain or the hint. Get into the hidden and the secret. And you will have things to share with us. It won't just be, you know, me or Pastor Gay or someone else in leadership. You'll be sharing a secret of the Lord that could encourage us to the place it takes us to the next level, family. Okay. So today, We're going to kind of finish up the kind of turned out to be a heart series. I didn't know it was going to necessarily be a heart series, but we talked about preparing your heart, guarding your heart, integrity of your heart, and releasing your heart. And all those, I believe, are on the website. See you, David.
Bless you.
Love you, bro. He has to go to work. It's so sad. Sorry. Just so many of the family's leaving. Okay, so releasing your heart. Today we're going to talk about the treasure of your heart. Well, we're going to talk about. Hopefully we're going to talk about, right? Let's look at this. Luke 12, 32 through 34 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Who's heard that verse before? Where your treasure is, there. That's a pretty quoted verse. I think my son would probably tell me, "Dad, you've taught this before." And I have. I've taught it from different angles. I think this is a key verse for us. For people who are in a materialistic world, this is something we need to continue to remind ourselves. Because it seems like where we put our efforts, our time, our finances, even our attention, our heart goes with it. Anybody notice that? I mean, anybody like a sports fan? Any sports fan? No sports fan? No Seahawks fan, Moses? How many hearts sunk during that playoff game for the Seahawks? Our heart was connected with them. Even though, were we on the field? No, but we were following them. We were, when they would drop a pass, we'd pep talk them. You didn't have to drop the pass. I'm just telling you, our hearts connect with things. And we have to watch what our heart's connecting with. Am I saying that, being a Seahawks fan is bad? I'm not at all. But, it can be to the place where we become a fan of something instead of God. And that's where it gets to be dicey. Because what we're doing is we're putting our treasure. Now, how many of you know the Seahawks aren't going to be, doing field goals in heaven? It's not. I mean, unless I get some new revelation, it's not going to be happening. At least not that way. It's a temporal thing. Is it enjoyable? Yes, very much. I enjoy watching them. I enjoyed watching the Super Bowl that they won. Praise the Lord. But there's also a balance that we have to things in our lives other than. And I can see you have something to say.
I didn't know that.
Because I can
so funny.
See it on your eyes.
So
in your eyes.
I remember taking a class one time in college, and what they were doing is they were training us about marketing. And what they said was, with regards to sports, men don't need a hook. The sport is their hook. But women, which is actually the demographic is more women on earth than men, they were losing out on their demographic because of the marketing. There wasn't anything that was hooking women. Does that make sense? So what they started to do is they would hand out the... like when you go into the Mariner game, they hand out the program, and in it they put little stories about John Smith from that team, and that, oh my goodness, his wife is getting ready to have a baby, but he's on the road and he's playing. Now you've got a hook and a woman, because it's like, oh, the poor woman's by herself while he's playing ball. And then you're rooting for him because they've drawn you in. Well, it's the same way with the world, with the treasure. The marketing companies know that if they can hook the women, they've got the world. Honestly. So in this... this is what Jesus is saying. Be very careful where you put your treasure. Be very, very, very obvious that you're going to choose the right thing, not the wrong thing. Anyway.
Exactly. That's good. And the mirror scripture to that, or the parallel scripture, is from Matthew 6, 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, if you had never heard that verse before, you heard it just a minute ago, so you can say, "I've heard that before now." But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's talking about How do we lay up things? How do we store things? How do we let things, for lack of better terms, take ownership of our heart? That's really what it is. If we're to guard our heart with all diligence, if we're to prepare our heart, if we're to have an integrity of heart, we need to make sure, what are we storing in our heart? Where are we letting our heart be led? Let's go ahead and take a look here. So this word treasure is the word thesauro, and it means to properly stored up treasure or riches, figuratively a storehouse of treasure, including treasured thoughts stored up in the heart and mind. Now, it's interesting that this word thesauros is the root word of our English term thesaurus, which refers to a storehouse or treasure. And as far as synonyms go, it's literally a receptacle of valuables. It's where we've placed our value, where we placed our priorities. I mean, you can tell people's priorities when they get off kilter. I mean, other people probably, you know, showed up in your life saying, wow, their priorities are all messed up. You know, they may have a family, have some kids, and they're staying out with their buddies till 2, 3 in the morning. You know, they go to work, and their wife hardly sees them, their family hardly sees them, but they're enjoying their life. Well, their priorities, their heart's messed up, because their heart should be first with their family. Would everybody agree? And if I've described anybody here, forgive me, okay? Come see me afterwards, and I'll try to help get it tweaked a little bit. But the point being is that you can let your heart hold value in something that is worthless. Mm-hmm. That is where moth is going to destroy and rust is going to decay. And how many know that Jesus came to give us life, not decay? Jesus came to give us something that's eternal, not temporal. And when we fix our heart, or we fix our thoughts on something temporal, you know what we start taking on? Decay. Whether it's decay in our body or whether it's decay in our being. Amen? Okay. Heart, this is the effective center of our being. It's the desire producer that makes us tick. Our desire decisions that establish who we really are. Doesn't that make sense? That individual who's got all his things, his desires are all messed up. His desires is wanting to get, you know, high or stoned or gamble all night. His desires are misdirected because of the value in that he's placed in things that are not going to bring life. Let's go back to Luke 32-34 and look what it's saying here in verse 33. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. 6:19-20 of Matthew. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where the thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So it sounds like the key is, what are we laying up? What are we storing? It's not so much that the treasury itself, it's what we've put in the treasury. So let's look at this word lay up. Interesting, it's the verb of the word thesauros, which means properly to put away, to store up, to lay aside treasure. So if you think about that verse, really what it's saying is, store up treasures for yourself, treasures on earth. So store up treasures, put up treasures for yourself. So the very act of the putting up is treasuring something. It's putting a value on it that is saying, I'm setting my heart on this. Properly to put away, store up, and lay aside treasures. Let's look at a couple of verses where this word is used. Luke 12:16-21. This is a parable that the Lord gave, and it's really kind of this one always has hit me right between the eyes, so get ready to go, ooh. Then he spoke a parable to him, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. That word store is store up, treasure those things. 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures, that's that word again, for himself and is not rich toward God. Does that never really qualify what we're talking about? You can lay up things for yourselves that are temporal, but you miss being rich toward God. You miss the richness of the relationship with Christ. That's one of the things when I pray with people now, I pray for the richness of God to be revealed. Because if we start to realize that he's rich, that there's nothing else on earth that even comes in comparison with value, you know what? We start to redirect our eyes. We start to put that effort into attaining this richness. I wish all of us could just receive it. I really do. I wish spiritual maturity just was something that just came with normal life. How many know it doesn't? Mm-hmm. That it takes effort to mature. It takes purposefulness. Is that the word? Purposefulness? Okay.
Sure. It works.
It works for me. It takes a consistency. It takes a, you know what? I'm not going to quit attitude. You know, I don't care if it hasn't worked yet. I don't care if I haven't seen the results that I've desired. You know, how many have worked out? Sometimes, you know, working out, you know, you see amazing results. Other times it's like, did this thing backfire? It's like, you know, but, you know, it's diligence and pursuance. And you know what? After a while, you start, oh, you know what? I feel better. I'm stronger. I can run after that shoplifter now. And maybe not. That, disregard that running after the shoplifter. Yes, you absolutely can. Please.
The verse that speaks mostly to me, maybe because it's about a woman, is actually in Luke 2:19, when the kings had come and found the baby Jesus and worshipped him, and all the things that were being said, glory to God in the highest, and this is going to be, you know, the Savior of the world. The verse 19 says that Mary kept all these things, and that word kept actually is the same meaning as treasured. She kept them, she treasured them in her heart, and she pondered them. And what that means is that she continually went over. She didn't just let it be. She kept it, and she thought through all of those things all the time. Because had she not done that, I don't believe she would have been as ready as she was for the crucifixion. I think if she had not pondered them and not treasured them in her heart, I think that she would have been the most grievous of mothers. Because she did, because she chose to go over these things in her heart as Holy Spirit was giving them to her, she was able to bear under the weight of this heaviness that her son was giving his life for you and for me. So she treasured these things. And that's that to me, that is like, wow. I mean, you know, God wants us to get it. He wants us to get it. And however that looks, it may be him with the treasure he's talking about. But to me, with Mary, I mean, that I'm a mom. That hits my heart. That draws me in. I understand that. And so God will use anything to capture our attention with regards to, where is your treasure? Where have you placed it? Is it in a good thing, or is it in a thing that is questionable? And only you and God really know the answer to that.
Exactly. Yeah, your treasure that the Lord wants you to have may not be someone else's treasure.
Right.
You know, someone else may be, you know, between him and God working on another treasure, and you think, no, this is the treasure you have to go after. You know, whether it be, you know, like, I'm reading my Bible every single year completely, all the way through it. This has got to be your treasure. You've got to, you know, someone else's treasure may be, I just like sitting at his feet at home in my prayer closet, just hiding away. You know, and I read the word when it's on my heart, but I just like that. That's my treasure. And which treasure is better?
Neither.
They're both the same.
Yeah.
Because they're both going after the heart of God. That's the key. They're both eternal.
Yeah, that's good.
James, this is another one that has got you. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Anybody want to memorize that verse? Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. James just was so nice, wasn't he? You have heaped up treasures in the last days. These are not good treasures that he's talking about, folks. Indeed, the wages of your laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. What is that saying? It's saying, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that so shall he reap. And he was speaking to the rich ones of that day, who probably were of churches, because this is in the Bible. You know, this isn't like, you know, a flyer that I picked up somewhere. This was to the body of Christ, saying, listen, if your riches are for your own gain, you're missing it. And if you're cheating people to get your riches, those very riches will be testifying against you. Wow. Those very riches will cause the corrosion and the decay. Lord, help us not to be in that club. And if we are, Lord, change our hearts. Make sure our treasures are in you. Isaiah 33:5-6. Now this is an amazing verse, and I want to let you know it's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the way that Jesus viewed, I guess for lack of a better term, his life in God. His life as the Messiah. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. I think right there, that's a good example for us maybe to have a treasure of the fear of the Lord. And to ask ourselves, do I even know what the fear of the Lord is? I've been relearning what the fear of the Lord is. Because I do want to hear the secret counsel of God. Not so that I can say, hey, I know something you don't know. You know, I was talking to God and, you know, he told me something and don't you wish you knew it? No. So that I know it, so that it can continue to transform me into who God wants me to be. Because that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. Being transformed in the image of Jesus. It's not about what we know. It's about knowing who we're supposed to know. And we know that through the fear. It's the fear of the Lord that makes me keep opening my Bible. It's the fear of the Lord that has me keep coming and sharing my heart with you. It's the fear of the Lord that keeps me praying with people who are in a stressful point of life. It's the fear of the Lord that lets me honor my mother and my father. It's the fear of the Lord that drives me to the place that I'm not sick today. I get to go and be at Emerald Care today. It's the fear of the Lord that drives me there. Not fear that he's going to get mad at me because I don't go, but the fear of the Lord knowing that I get to participate in a way that will bring him joy because he's one of those that are there. Visiting him today will be an honor. That's the treasure, guys. It's not about, you know, how many stars we get on our Christian vest. It's about how close we can get to his heart. And that's a treasure. That's a treasure. And I can speak from experience. I'm not telling you something that is, a theory. I can tell you it's a treasure getting into the very heart of God. And I always thought it was, you know, something that I would see someday. But to have it now, on this side of heaven, is a treasure. So what is the treasure of your heart? That should be a question mark. Only you can decide. So examine your heart. Let the Lord examine your heart. Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, see if there's any bad things in my heart. That's what he's saying. See if there's any ways in me that keep me from knowing who you are truly, the goodness of God. Remember, the one that created all things has a door that says, welcome, has a mat out for you, has a place for you to rest your feet when they're getting weary. Amen. Let's pray. Do you want to go and pray? Nope? Okay. Does anyone have anything? I want to give someone an opportunity. Yeah, Glenn, I thought maybe you might. He's got a verse even.
Well, it's tied in.
Good.
Should I stay up here or go
sure.
down?
Sure, yeah.
All right. So during worship, God really was pressing on my heart about the heart, really. And when this all came up, I'm like, all right, I know that he wants me to share. But there's one thing first. We were talking last night, and Al, you'd mentioned about kind of feeling unsafe inviting people to church. You know what I mean? Because you're not kind of necessarily sure how to describe what happens. And on Easter, this came to me this morning. My brother decided to come, and my brother has not been walking with the Lord ever. I love him dearly. I mean, he's my brother. And he came with three of his kids, and I thought that was cool, you know? I didn't know. He obviously felt terribly uncomfortable. Anyone ever felt uncomfortable in church? Ken, every week.
Every week.
We love you, man. That's just, we're all different.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hasn't been exposed to church the same way that we have. You know, so this is normal for us. He was in here. He's like, what are all these people doing? Who are these people? You know, we're like aliens to him. But anyways, we left. And 2 days later, I went to my mom's house. And she said, man, isn't that cool that Cam went to church? And I'm like, yeah, I thought that was cool. I'm like, I don't know if he got anything out of it. And he said, well, Olivia, his six-year-old daughter, she said that Cam told her that she just laid on his chest and cried the whole time. No one was praying with her. No one told her to do anything. She just felt the presence of God here. And something happened in her heart that caused her to melt before him. And I just thought that was so beautiful because we never know what God is going to do. But we do know where he is, and he's with us.
Yeah.
And you know what? When we gather together, powerful things happen,
amen,
regardless of whether we can describe them or not. And that's the thing that leads me into what has been on my heart. And it's kind of like the question that's, why me? And why me, God? Why would you choose me to save? Why would you choose me to do anything? Why would you choose me to lead worship for all these people who don't know how terrible a musician I am, but they think I'm phenomenal because I love you. You know, I mean, it's like we all have talents. It's easy to be so critical of ourselves and wonder, why me, when God just wants us to say yes. He's not interested in us believing in ourselves because he believes in us, and we just need to put our faith back in him. But I was thinking about, I know this is a lot longer than anyone was probably expecting, but I'm going to preach, all right? Joseph, right? Joseph, you can tell where Joseph's heart was because what happened to him didn't define him. And it's all about the position of your heart. It's the culture that's in your heart. And I define culture this way. Culture is the acceptable set of behaviors and activities, right? So we define what's acceptable in our hearts by what we allow to live there. It's where we treasure. Mm-hmm. What we treasure in our hearts is what we allow to live there. So in our society, it seems so right for us to have all these nasty thoughts as long as we don't let them out, right? So it's okay to be pissed off at your boss, and it's okay to respond terribly to him. Just don't show him. You just get to go around to the water cooler and get a drink and then tell all your coworkers about it, right? That's okay behavior. I know that it's not, but I mean, socially, we've decided that that's okay in our culture, in our American culture. It's okay to harbor nasty feelings as long as you don't let them out. You know, as long as you don't let them show. And it's just like the Pharisees. Jesus said, you silly Pharisees, you keep washing the outside of the cup thinking that it makes you clean. But really, it's the inside that you need to clean
out.
That's
right.
And it's the heart that you need to clean out. It's not your activity outside that needs to change. It's what's inside, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And right, it's what you're treasuring inside is coming out. So
that was last week's sermon.
Was it? I didn't even listen. But obviously, again, God's doing something, right? So, love it. But I'm just kind of, you know, in my own life, what are the behaviors that I've said are acceptable in my own heart? What are the thoughts that I've allowed to manifest and I haven't rejected? What are the things that I've chosen to treasure that God doesn't treasure? Because really, the things that I treasure in my heart should be the very things that God treasures in his heart. And we get caught up trying to clean the outside of the cup when Jesus didn't come to, he didn't come to give me a house. He didn't come to give me cars. He didn't come to give me medical care. Do I think that he absolutely wants me to have all those things? Absolutely. We can all agree that God wants us all to be comfortable. He does. He doesn't want us to be living on the streets. I don't believe, you know, even though, you know, like the word says, you know, birds in the air, they have nests, and, you know, elephants, well, I don't even remember, but, you know, foxes have holes.
A trunk.
But the Son of Man, you know, he has nowhere to lay his home. But you know what? He does want us to have a home.
Right.
He does want us to be secure. He does want us to be safe and have stability. But he doesn't want our stability to be based in the things that are around us.
That's
because
right.
We're really good at building these systems to create stability and safety for us. And we're really good at staying in a job that we hate, even though we know that God wants us to move on, because there's some false sense of stability there, as though the job's giving us stability and not the heart of God, and us being children of him giving us stability. And I just say in my own heart, I need to come to a place where my stability is in God and my stability is not in these systems that I'm so good at building and I'm so good at putting together. Because when my faith goes into things, my world turns upside down. I know that we can all agree that when we put our faith in the wrong place, it's not satisfied. You know, there's a satisfaction that comes with putting your faith in God, even though you don't understand why me, even though you don't understand why all this stuff's happening. When you put your faith in God and not in things, you'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
And when the culture of your heart is such that you aren't trying to manage what you're letting out. Because we're so good at being political and being religious. That's the religious spirit, is the one that says, it's okay to hold on to these feelings, but I just can't let them out. Let that sink in. It's the spirit of God that says, I want you to shine. He
yeah.
says, let your light so shine.
Amen.
He doesn't say, let your light so shine through this opaque screen so that people can only see what you want them to see. He says, let your light so shine. And when we're caught up managing what we're letting out, we're never going to let the heart of God out. So that's all I have. Love you guys.
Would you pray?
I would love to
yeah.
pray. Father, take this word that you have graced us with today, God.
Yes.
Take this word that you have planted in our heart and teach us to treasure the very things that you treasure, God. Teach us to lay hold of what you have for us and fix our eyes, fix our lives, fix our hearts on the purpose of being Jesus on the earth. Fix our hearts on knowing you, on just truly having relationship with you, so that we can let our light so shine, and so that we can be all that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Emerald Care, 3 o'clock, 209 North Attanum. God bless you all. Have a great day. Love you. Oops, sorry.